the importance, the urgent need for more women in AI. And right now, with the challenges that these new exponential technologies bringing, it also brings amazing opportunities. There is a role for us, even though we don't have a technical background. You don't need to have a technical background. And as we know, like, the gender gap right now in general in tech is already very wide. And if we don't have women learning AI, the gap becomes even wider.
Hello, and welcome back to the Women of Web3 podcast. I'm Lauren Ingram, and I'm the founder of Women of Web3. We're a community and a consultancy, and we've been educating thousands of women about Web3 and sharing jobs, events, and learning resources like this podcast. In every episode, I'll be interviewing an incredible leader about their learnings. We start off by breaking down the Web3 jargon, then we head deeper down the rabbit hole. Please do subscribe and give us a rating. It really helps more people find the podcast. We're now fully in the swing of planning our International Women's Day Summit in March, which feels like ages away, but there's a lot to lock into place before that. Our theme is inclusive leadership. And if you want to attend, keep an eye on our channels. And if your company wants to partner with us for the summit, it's not too late. So do get in touch with me via LinkedIn. But now for today's guest, continuing on our January theme of reset, reskill, we're going to get you set up for 2024. And we've got an incredible entrepreneur. She's one half of a brilliant duo, and that's Tarya Stevens. She's co-founder of MIA, so Mission Impact Academy. It's a global AI school, and they're on a mission to upskill 1 million women. So you're going to hear from our conversation. They're very much focused on work, careers, entrepreneurship. So if you're having a think about your job in 2024 and beyond, this might actually give you a nudge to go and make some changes. She's this incredibly positive change maker, and so this episode is going to feel like one big hug. So without further ado, here's Tarya. Welcome to the show, Tarya. I'm really happy to have you here. Could you start off by saying a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Perfect. Thank you so much. I am so happy to be here. And my name is Tarya Stevens, and I am a co-founder of MIA, Mission Impact Academy. And we provide upskilling solutions and talent development for businesses and individuals in AI, and truly specializing offering training programs for non-technical women. So excited. Right now we have a platform offering training programs in AI leadership development. And also what we have done is hosting strategy workshops and certificate programs. So we are new company. And right now what is very exciting is that we also have a free AI learning network that over 1,000 women have now joined from 70 countries. And this is a place for them to really share knowledge and have networking opportunities and getting many of them first touch of what is AI and what is my role in it.
Really cool. I feel like it's much needed. I've really admired what the two of you are building. I feel like women especially, we need to give women the opportunity to learn about this stuff, but also kind of get women excited about like the potential of this and, you know, highlighting, no, you don't need to be technical. You just need to sort of seize the potential of all of these emerging technologies. So I want to step things back actually, because I know that you've gone from working in shipbuilding previously, and now you're running this global AI accelerator aimed at women. So how did you make this enormous pivot?
Great question. I love it. And so I'm originally from Finland. I live now in Miami. And before launching MIA, like you mentioned, I was in a very, very different industry. I spent over a decade in marine industry, serving as a head of development and innovation, and really worked helping scale operations in multi-million dollar projects. And during that time, we brought in lean methodologies into marine industry with Porsche Consulting and really developed these new change management, in a sense, new technologies and leadership and methodologies in a massive project. So this position has really helped me understand the importance of talent development, traveled 100 days a year, and met this incredible talent around the world. And that's when the realization of talent is distributed equally, but opportunity is not in this world. And also what it gave me is identify like these change management challenges many times with teams and companies with kind of bringing in, incorporating new initiatives and technologies. So that's kind of where my last position has been. And in 2020, when the COVID hit, I think I'm one of the millions of women who really stopped at that time to see, what do I want to do? What my passion is? And that was the time when I looked into new opportunities and decided to leave my corporate job and become an entrepreneur.
That's really cool. And like I said, I really admire what you're doing. And I really like what you just said about talent being equal everywhere, but the fact that opportunities are not. And I feel like what you're building at MIA is helping literally level the playing field and spread those opportunities, because they shouldn't be only for one sort of person, man, woman, or like when you're talking about privilege or anything like that. It's also quite interesting to hear from your career the kind of bits that you've almost like, you've taken the interesting bits and followed that to a sort of natural conclusion about, okay, if I apply what I know about talent development and change management and then apply that in this brand new field, how can we make this as valuable as possible to people around the world? And then stepping things even a little bit further back, how did you start out in your career?
That's a great question. So for me, I'm from Finland. I moved to United States in my 90s. So this kind of reveals my age as well. I've been here over two decades. I came here in university, and I would say that I am one of the good examples of someone who has changed several times careers in my professional life. I started in finance after graduating, went to education, and then, like I mentioned, past decade was in this innovative development position. So I want to make sure as well that the women that are now kind of part of our MIA community see the storytelling that it's okay to have this kind of a continuous career paths that the future work will now allow us to do as well. And like I mentioned, when we started MIA, I actually met my co-founder, Janna, at the time when I left my corporate job. We were just two non-technical founders. It was a perfect match, complementing each other and also coming together and like, what can we build? So my career at that time, based in Miami, we saw this new emerging tech coming into this vibrant city, started growing here in the US, but we saw the lack of women. And that was the kind of a starting point 2 years ago when we traveled different conferences and we're the voice of when we saw thousands of women who are spearheading new initiatives and really learning new things. But when we ask, how can we help you? It's like, we can't find a job. We don't have a technical background and it's hard to get job interviews. And this is what the, you know, emerging tech many times when you don't have a technical background. So that's kind of the origin story that we like, let's do something. And a year ago, we launched a new first our cohort that was called Global Leadership Program in Emerging Technologies. And we had 450 applications coming in, and we had this 9-week program for 50 women around the world. So that's kind of where we think that with Janna, my co-founder, and I, that we also are showing ourselves how we've been able to and really getting out there, even though it could be scary at times, but also the great opportunities that these new technologies and this future work is providing us.
And you've built a lot in quite a short time, because I feel like I've known you for sort of a long time, but actually it's since last year, or like, you know, maybe about a year. I think both of our businesses have already kind of evolved in that time. And as we've said, I think it's so important to get more women into generative AI specifically, because it has such a far-reaching impact. And as I was just saying to you before we started recording, I think if I wasn't running Women of Web 3, I'd be specifically trying to get women into generative AI, because it's just going to have such a massive effect if we don't start addressing that now. It's quite concerning. Like, what would you say would be the impact if women don't get skilled up in AI fast enough?
Absolutely. No, you couldn't be more right. And that's what we see as well, that the importance, the urgent need for more women in AI. And we always say the revolution right now, what's happening, it can be related to electricity. We hear that over 100 years ago. And right now, with the challenges that these new exponential technologies bringing, it also brings amazing opportunities. So that's kind of where we are right now, and really giving the access to, we always call like, we are this welcoming center to the future, that these women see that there is a role for us, even though we don't have a technical background. You don't need to have a technical background. So when you say like, what would happen if there's not, you know, this upskilling in AI for women fast enough, there can be a very big challenges. And as we know, like, the gender gap right now in general in tech is already very wide. And if we don't have women learning AI, the gap becomes even wider. So that's one of the kind of a core missions that we have. But then with the AI, the biases in AI, we hear, I'm sure in right now news and everywhere, that if we don't have a diverse population and people really being part of and contributing building the AI, the system might not be fully understand and or even serve the diverse population. So as we are lacking right now diverse voices, perspective in developing AI, it is so crucial that we have everybody from diverse backgrounds, different industries coming and being part of building it. And this is where we represent the non-technical women. But also what is very important in our world is the economic opportunities. We have seen these new AI-driven jobs that are very well paying, and we want to make sure that women are capable and skilled in AI so they don't miss these jobs of the future, how we call it. So I think there is a many different ways, but the biggest thing is that these incredible opportunities coming, we are many times saying the coming AI wave right now, that it's a once in a lifetime, that we should all embrace it. And also that it's right now, we are early innovators. So those who are now getting involved, learning, exploring, starting using AI in their daily life and work, it will be incredibly, incredibly important in the coming years. And we just want to have more diverse voices being part of building it.
100% agree. And we are even still early in AI as well as Web3. If ChatGPT has only been around for a year, or maybe just over a year, then what are things going to look like in another year from now? Just like, and like, how amazing might that technology be brand-wise? It could be any of the sort of big companies like Google Bard might, you know, make another enormous leap forward, and that might become the kind of go-to AI tool. Who knows? I'd love to know a bit about your learnings in terms of running the cohort at the moment. So you've just had your first cohort of sort of this iteration of the business, or this iteration of the academy. And how has that gone so far? And what have you learned from it?
Amazing. Yeah, great timing, because we just completed our first 6-week skills certificate program 2 weeks ago. So this was called Global AI Leadership Program. We had over 70 participants, both men and women, joining from over 20 countries. And most of them, if I would say all, were non-technical, and they became diverse sectors. We had from academia, we have a nonprofit, profit, government, media. So it was amazing, I would say, a cohort of women coming together and really being part of something that we shared knowledge. So with that 6 weeks, we had 12 live sessions twice a week that we brought AI specialists. We brought speakers. And really what the biggest finding, when you ask about what are the biggest learnings, I think not only to have gaining the foundational understanding of AI and cutting the fundamental ethics, safety, literacy, very important things. That's kind of the first things that what are the practical applications and ethical considerations. So that was the biggest takeaway, obviously, that we understand the magnitude of this, the future of AI. But also, I think what was really meaningful is bringing these real world case studies. So we had the opportunity to work with some of the AI specialists and educators and learning and applied of the practical scenarios. We had a couple sessions that it's called My Day with AI, where we were able to follow from the morning to the end what it means to have these AI tools in my life, from the email automation to really content creation. So those were, I think, very practical things. But also the one takeaway that we saw that was very inspiring is that we built AI portfolio. So this was kind of a work portfolio that whatever in that 6 weeks the women learned, they were able to create their own kind of a showcase of these skills. And that's a great complement for the old way of doing a resume, that now it becomes, let me show you what I have done using these AI tools. So those were the kind of very exciting things that we learned on that 6 weeks. But that's why we wanted to call it AI Leadership Program, because the emphasis on the human skills. So we are so passionate about also highlighting the importance of the human skills, like the leadership, empathy, communication, recognizing that these are actually the most important things, that anything that AI will not automate are going to be extremely important, how to build genuine relationships, how to build networks, trusted individuals. So I think overall, it was just a very eye-opening and inspiring, even for us as a founders, to be part of this cohort.
You're right. You can't automate empathy and you can't automate network building. But I really like the sound of that. So is there a sort of official certification that people receive having done that cohort? You know, is it based on the blockchain, or like, you know, what do people, or do they get like a little physical thing? What happens at the end of the course?
We didn't have it on blockchain. We should. That's the next one. We would love to have it. It was very, very right now a certificate of the completion. And we must say that women have now come back and we are going testimonials, that incredible stories that they have been able to showcase that when they've been looking for jobs. And there has been already that they have received new jobs and in the current roles being now kind of the champions in AI within their companies. So the feedback has been amazing and the certificate has been a great way for them to showcase these new skills. So we can't wait to really bring to life new programs in 2024, knowing the impact this first program was able to create.
I feel like we should also talk more, doesn't need to be on this podcast, but in a general sense, because we've got a sort of talent collective for women of Web3, of women that want to work in theory Web3, but it is kind of broader than that, of like emerging technologies, AI, anything, metaverse, anything like that. That feels like a sort of a natural marriage there. Because I like I say, I really admire what you're doing. And I think I also just really like the way it's packaged up. And I think maybe also because you're women and you're building with women in mind, maybe that's also why I find it so appealing compared to some of the other, I don't know, any AI education out there. I also started another business to, you know, keep myself busy with a toddler and a first business. Why not a second one as well? Called The Side Chain, where we are also doing AI and Web3 education. And that's aimed at founders and freelancers, men and women, you know, all genders. And that one's been specifically about a kind of, if you can gain a business advantage by learning about this stuff, then sort of come and do the course and sort of download downloadables, that kind of thing. But I was also interested to know what the split of men and women is. So is your course, or I guess almost like your suite of maybe future products, is it aimed at women but open to everyone? Is that the...
Absolutely. So yes, that's a great question. And we want to emphasize it's a women first, but it's not women only. So we welcome everyone. And we see the importance with the diverse voices in every way. So they are designed really thinking of non-technical women. What are the challenges? And many times also encouraging that even though we call technologies in the AI, you don't need to have a four-year degree in coding or being part of this. So that's why we want to focus on women right now and seeing their potential in this. Like we talk about prompt engineering, we call this prompt designing, and it's a communication skills, which many of us women have on our works and that way. But like I mentioned, we have amazing men champions part of it. And I think that's very important to have a diverse group of different sectors in all the way.
What kind of split did you get, whether at the application level or, you know, applicants or who actually joined the course? What kind of split did you have?
I think it was, I don't want to say the numbers, but I would say maybe 90% and 10% men.
Super interesting. I'd love to know what your views are on Web3 more broadly, because you have slightly pivoted the business. So when we started speaking a year or so ago, I think we were both more sort of squarely in like Web3 and things like AR and VR. And it feels like you've slightly pivoted away from that, or maybe it's either pivoted away or sort of broadened things out to emerging technologies, which I completely appreciate why you would do that. Where would you see things going next for Web3 specifically?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're absolutely right. We started in Web3 and emerging tech. And like I mentioned, being here in Miami, it has been amazing city to be a part of, and the growing and the VR, AR, Web3 space. So, and that was the time, like I mentioned, a year ago, we did do the 9-week global leadership program specifically for VR, AR, and Web3 space. And I just see incredibly, even though we shifted on AI, we see the same opportunities in Web3, VR, AR space that we're seeing in AI, and actually complementing both of them, the possibilities and how we can collide all these technologies together. And I think the eye-opener was also, we just got back 2 weeks ago from COP 28 in Dubai, and understanding the impact these new technologies can have. We talked about climate crisis, but it's so much more. It is the correlation of inequality, access to capital, education, health, to mention a few that was discussed on COP28. And with these new technologies, really the fast changing world coming with the Web3 that can spread the data across in many places instead of keeping it in one spot. And then AI coming to help and really manage and understand this data better. I really think that Web3's future is about kind of coming together with AI and other new technologies really create this digital world that it's smarter, it's more connected and focused on the needs of really changing this world for better. So that's what I genuinely believe and I couldn't be more excited.
I think it's a very optimistic and very appealing way to look at things.
I'm optimistic. I am all the way. I want to see the positive things that we can do with the knowing that obviously there is a lot of challenges and responsibilities coming on our way in any technology.
Right? Out of interest, do you have a name for when you sort of group together these emerging technologies? I feel like depending on who you ask or if somebody asks me and depends what day of the week it is, what I refer to as, sometimes it's like emerging tech, sometimes maybe frontier tech. If someone's heard it more in corporates. I felt before like Web3 was a nice way to encapsulate all of this, but now that seems to be more of a kind of blockchain only thing. Whereas I think I'm kind of interested in broadly what's the next major iteration of the internet and as you say, the convergence of all these technologies. Do you give it a name or not?
Emerging tech.
Yeah.
I think that is emerging tech would be right now, today, if you ask me.
Yeah, I suppose that is what I would probably call it most of the time. But I feel like it's a moving target. it is a little bit different every week. What would you say you're most excited about in this space more broadly?
What I'm excited is the opportunities. I see this, even OECD mentioned 1 billion jobs will be transformed by these technologies in a coming decade. It's a challenge, but I always see the opportunity. And right now, if it's said that 85% of the jobs have not been created yet, I see such a pivotal moment of being part of reshaping the industries and creating new economic opportunities. And that's why there is so much urgency for me to talk to more women and saying, please be part of this, come and really explore, because most of the industries will be transformed in the coming years. So that's what I'm excited of, the opportunities and also the career advancements that can come throughout our ways. There is going to be pivotal moment of disruption happening, and we see that automation is coming. But at the same time, if we are ready, we also know the new jobs that are coming. So we can have more women stepping into the new roles, offering their creativity and the impact and being part of the leadership, also paving these high-paying jobs and entrepreneurial opportunities. So there's many layers that I'm excited, but mostly I would say three is the new career advancements that can happen, internal mobility, very much of leadership roles, as well as entrepreneurial opportunities really that are now shaping this future of technologies that we can be part of. So I'm excited.
So it's broadly the future of work. That's what gets you out of bed in the morning.
Absolutely. Yes.
Are there any particular tools that you really like?
Tools, I think right now, there's about 1,000 AI tools coming out every month. And that can be overwhelming. So on our platform, we have a data bank that we keep updated our members can come and share that. But at the end of the day, I think really the mindset, I believe that AI is a mindset. It's something that it's going to be part of us, and for us to understand that it's our co-pilot and us to help. I think that's a big mindset shift. And when we have our community talks, we many times talk about 3 C's, which is let's commit, start learning AI even 5 days, 5 minutes a day would be a great. And then that we connect those people that we feel like we will be able to build networks and sharing knowledge. And what I really myself I'm doing, I'm just starting to create images, start exploring these new AI tools, playing around and really having fun. Those would be the basic things that I think all of us So I don't know if there's a tool, but I think it's a mindset of continuous learning and being in this journey of exploring.
And what about for you as an individual? How much would you say you're using it as your co-pilot? How much are you using AI tools? Are you using it more like in an experimental way, as you mentioned, or really to actually sort of build and scale the business? Like, how much of, I don't know, your day or your business is made up with this stuff?
Every day. It's everywhere right now. So Mia is part of the Cole Academy. Our team is using it. So we are building it as we using it in every day building our company. So we have a monthly seeing what the AI tools our team is using. We're exploring them and utilizing in content creation. So it's amazing to see us two female founders who has a limited budget ourselves and growing, how much we've been able to utilize this AI technology building our.
I feel like some other time it'd be fun to just interview you for like a sort of mini content series on just, yeah, what these tools are, or we could sort of go through them together. There's so much useful stuff, and yeah, it is literally changing by the day, by the month. Do you have any other top tips to share with our community? Because we always try and make sure that each episode is quite actionable. In fact, even more so now that the team of an unnamed big celebrity got in touch to say how much they like the Women of Web3 podcast and how instructional it's been. And they sort of said, okay, we listen to every episode, write down who the guest is, who they recommend to follow, what tips and resources they suggest. So now I feel like hyper-conscious that it's got to be the good stuff. Come on, Tayo, you've got to give me the good stuff. What are these top tips?
I love it. Specific AI tools, I kind of a shy away of giving, obviously ChatGPT and all these. But more importantly, I think the biggest thing right now we all can do is to start prompting. And what I mean by that is understanding the power of us knowing how to communicate with AI. It's what you're getting out of ChatGPT is as good as you're putting in. So right now, it's this genius with the five-year-old mind, in a sense that you need to be very clear, the tone, how do you want to have that information, and also understanding when not to use it, when not to trust it. So that would be my tip, is to explore prompting. We want to call it prompt designing. And with that concept, you will be able to utilize that in all the AI tools that you're doing, with the visuals, videos, and all the other things. So hopefully that helps.
It does. It is like learning another language, like when we first got access to being able to, you know, ask Jeeves or Yahoo and Google for the first time, that we then had to work out how to get what you want out of it, including stuff like, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but if I'm to search my own name, I have to sort of do minus and then name certain industries, because there are some other Lauren Ingrams. Like there's a Lauren Ingram that's a journalist, there's one that's a big actor, I think, in the UK. So I'm like, you know, minus actor, minus insurance, because the journalist writes about insurance. So it is learning a language and learning how to speak to a computer. I found today's session really valuable, and I think people will get a lot out of it. So lastly, Tayo, where can people find you?
I would recommend to find me on LinkedIn. And that's another tip, is that right now there's incredible sharing knowledge, value in networks, and LinkedIn is where you can find me the most, under Tayo Stevens. And visit our website, www.themia.world. You will be able to apply for our free MIA Learning Network. Like I mentioned, over 1,000 women is already there. And with that, then you will be able to find all our new programs that are coming up in 2024. And we want to hear from you. We are building this together. So we would love to hear what are the things, what are the missing things that our community and women are craving right now. And that way we will be able to build these new future programs together. So excited to anyone who's interested in learning more, reach out to me. And it's a day one for all of us.
I really like that. And you've been such a beacon of positivity. So I appreciate your time. Thank you, Tayo.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Women of Web3 podcast. I've been your host, Lauren Ingram. Please do give us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps more women, more people find the show. Check out our website, womenofweb3.co, to come and join our talent collective and get your profile seen by potential Web3 employers. Or you can choose to be anonymous if you prefer. If you're at a company that's looking to understand Web3 better, or you want to support women in this space, do get in touch with us on our website. And if you've got any questions, any comments, tweet us at womenofweb3co or find us on LinkedIn. And we'll see you next Tuesday morning.